Hello, hello, hello. Hey. Hey, thank you all so much for coming. I want to give everyone on the panel opportunity to introduce themselves. Let me tell you a little bit about why we're joining today. We want to have a conversation about the origins of barbecue here in Chicago, which have so much to do with the migration from the South in the 1900s. So I did a little research myself, and I learned that this neighborhood, Pullman, played a vital part in the migration. This was a middle-class neighborhood in the 1900s because the Pullman porters can come here and raise families and just be a part of a really rich community. And so we'll get into all of that. Thank all of the panelists for joining me today. We got some rock stars in the building. Brian Jupiter. We got my guy Ron. We got Daniel Hammond over there. And thank you all again so much for joining us. Monica and everyone, Catherine, I'll let you all introduce yourselves and tell a little bit about yourselves, okay?
Okay, so I'm Catherine Lamprecht. I'm the moderator for this program. I'm with Culinary Historians of Chicago and a bunch of other things. And I also barbecue at home. So I'm in the right place.
Hi, I'm Monica Eng with Axios Chicago, and I'm a food writer and reporter who's been covering Chicago food for about 3 decades. Wow. Thanks.
So I'm Mike Gebert. I have a site called Fooditor, and I am working on a book about Chicago restaurants since the 60s, which has consumed my life. But occasionally, I do manage to get out and have barbecue or things like that. I made a documentary in 2011 called a Barbecue History of Chicago that's kind of about the history of the Southside barbecue style, which is distinct from other parts of the city. And so I guess I'll be called on to talk about that.
How y'all doing? I'm Chef Brian Jupiter. I'm the chef owner of Frontier Restaurant, Ina May Tavern, and Migos Fine Foods, which is coming soon. I specialize in more like whole smoked animals, and so we do pigs and lambs and goats, wild boars, alligators, antelope legs, and so, you know, my style's a little different, but we still smoking.
Well, I'm like him, too. I like to eat gator, lamb, goat, and everything like that. Ron Connor, I'm a pit master, backyard pit master. I do a lot of things within the community in the South Suburbs. I've been fortunate enough to be with a few establishments that allow me to cook throughout the week. So I do a lot of pork, beef, and so forth. But I enjoy smoking meat, and I like serving folks.
Lord have mercy. Okay. Hey, all right. I am Pitmaster Daniel Hammond. I am owner and proprietor of Smoky Soul Barbecue Chicago, one of the top barbecue catering companies in Chicago. Really? You gonna do this? All right, I'm playing. That's my mom. All right, I'm also a brand ambassador for Weber Grills, amongst other things. So, hi, how are you?
Hi. I'm Chef Dominique Leach. Thank you. Owner and executive chef here at Lexington Betty Smokehouse. Again, thank you all so much for joining us today. So happy to see all of these beautiful smiling faces, supportive faces. And I want to thank my team for all of the extra work you all put in today. Thank my sister and my mom for coming in early and helping me pull this thing off. And we're going to have a good time. We got the pit master serving some wonderful food, and it's going to be awesome, all right? Let's get started.
Okay, this is where I play moderator. I think it would be really great if we inform these chefs here what kind of people are in the audience. Are you the kind that eat barbecue? Yeah. Fantastic. Are you the kind that when you go on a trip, do you look for barbecue destination stops?
Yes!
And do you smoke barbecue at home?
Yes!
The smaller crowd, believe me. I get that because it's a lot of work to barbecue at home. I do it. I hate to tell you, my family doesn't like it, so I have to do it for others. So I'm going to do a fast round robin so we get an idea of the chefs that are sitting here and their backgrounds. And what I'd like you to each tell me is, can you comment on what type of smoker you use? Can you type the type of wood, the fuel? That gives us an idea right away off the bat.
Yeah, let's start with me.
Okay, I use a, primarily use a Ling Smokers 84 offset reverse flow smoker. Look it up. also, I use a handful of Weber products as well, of course. And wood, primarily use cherry and post oak.
I use cherry and hickory wood. I have an offset smoker. It's the opposite of his reverse smoker. Look it up like you said. An offset smoker got made in Texas. It's hard to get one here made in Chicago due to the fabricators don't know nothing about the offset smokers. So mine has come from Houston, Texas.
I use a old Hickory Pits smoker, and we've had it for the last 13 years. It runs 24 hours a day, and it's a beast. We use apple and cherry mostly, and every once in a while we'll get, you know, something like pecan wood or some mulberry or something like that. So
I use a Southern Pride here at the restaurant. When I'm cooking for myself or just as a hobby, I love to cook on a Weber grill. That's what we grew up cooking on. We lived by it. And if you watched Barbecue Brawl, I kicked some ass on a Weber grill. we use apple and oak wood here at the restaurant. I often play with variations of different wood just for different flavor profiles. But the Southern Pride, I guess we would consider that like the modern smoker. It's super ideal for commercial kind of settings. Our business is a catering business first and then a restaurant, so we treat it accordingly.
Does anybody here use an aquarium smoker or had some work with it?
I've actually, we all know aquarium smokers are like not safe at all. It's probably the most unsafe thing to cook on. I don't know how places get insurance with aquarium smokers, but you're going to get the best product off the aquarium smoker. You're not going to see it used anywhere but Chicago. Limbs kind of like hold the torch.
I don't think that the city would allow you to install. Like, if you open a new restaurant with an aquarium, I don't think they're going to let you do it.
No, I don't think so. So, essentially, it's an open fire pit. You have the wood at the bottom, and the aquarium is built to hold the smoke in and flow out of the top of the smoker, and it only recycles when you open the door, which if you know anything about fire, that can also ignite it. And so a lot of places that have the pit, you'll see them like tame it with water. If you don't have the skill, it's not gonna be right. It's not for the faint.
I'm gonna add to that. Mm-hmm. The door is not exactly a door, it's tempered glass. So the wrong move and the right amount of heat with that hose can shatter that glass. I've experienced it firsthand. It is not fun while you're cooking.
Even the manufacturing company, like I said, you're only going to be able to get an aquarium pit here in Chicago.
Right.
And we'll get into that because our barbecue scene is so different.
Yeah.
But they'll tell you that it is the most dangerous pieces of equipment to cook on.
Right.
By the way, have you had to deal with neighbors complaining about smoke odors, or are the type you use kind of smokeless?
You know, when I was on North Avenue, we used to get some very few complaints. But I think if you have a barbecue restaurant, you want the aesthetics of smoke to kind of fill the neighborhood, because when people smell it, it brings them into the building. Which leads me to, I'll have a brand new smoker in about 4 weeks that shall light this block up.
I can totally agree too. Though I don't have a brick and mortar, I have a neighborhood, and everybody knows when I cook.
Right, because Honey One, that used to be on Fullerton and Western, endless complaints. Endless complaints. I'm sure of it. But he still went and bought an air scrubber that cost around, what, $30,000? Not fun. Not fun when the neighbors gang up on you. So now, when you order barbecue in a restaurant that you've never been to before, what's your classic order?
Ooh. First, I got to smell smoke before I even go in the door. If I don't want to smell no smoke, I'm walking back out. I'm a beef guy. So the Dino Bowl beef ribs is my favorite. And no sauce.
And no sauce at all, or sauce on the side?
Well, most times with a beef rib, I don't need no sauce. The seasoning is good enough for me.
You go to Texas a lot.
Yeah.
What's your favorite in Texas?
Same. And brisket.
Mm-hmm. I like the ribs. And so I feel like if you get the ribs right, then you're right in my book. I'm not as crazy about brisket. I do love beef ribs as well. But yeah, you're right about the smoke, because there's some technology barbecue out there now. And so it's like these little pellet smokers and stuff, and they're not horrible, but they're not going to give you the same oomph as, you know, like without a doubt. So yeah, give me some ribs though.
I cook macaroni and cheese on my pellet smoker. I really don't smoke meats. On that, for me, I'm kind of a mixed bag, because I've traveled around the country for barbecue, and when I can, and so brisket is always number one, and then ribs, and I like a good barbecue chicken. I like a good smoked chicken. So if you can get some chicken or some turkey right, then those are my top picks.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Jupe. I think probably the ribs, too. I guess it depends on where I am. If I'm in Chicago, I want to try the rib tips.
Yeah, I was going to say, anybody going to eat rib tips?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Hot links.
And hot links. Definitely rib tips and hot links in Chicago, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because that stuff's really good. What is Chicago style? And I think this is where Mike and Monica can also contribute toward this answer.
Okay, the somewhat pedantic answer is that a regional barbecue style comes out of the area that it's in. So in Texas, you know, it's cattle country, you're making beef barbecue. You're in Memphis or South Carolina, you know, it's more likely to be pork. So that's, you know, it's an authentic style to that region that comes out of what they have. Well, what we had in Chicago, first off, it was, you know, the hog butcher to the world, all that. So a lot of pork, and particularly, you know, in the early days, the rib tips that are such a Chicago thing, they're a waste product as far as, you know, the big pork processors were concerned. So these guys could just, you know, pick them up as trash, basically, and then cook them. Well, eventually they figured out that somebody was making money off of it, so they should actually charge for it. But yeah, so it was very much pork barbecue. And the other thing we had that's distinctive is, you know, the hot links, sausage. You really only see sausage in barbecue in two major regions. One is us, and one is the hill country of Texas. And what they both have in common is a lot of, like, Germans and East Europeans settling that area. So you had people who knew how to make sausage in the area. So that was something that was available inexpensively. The other thing that was really distinctive to Chicago barbecue is the thing that we just heard is a total danger, which is the aquarium smoker, the glass pit. And that came out of, that was our health departments and fire departments who didn't like the, you know, kind of Texas style brick pits because they thought they were dirty. Now, I think anything that's got a fire going, you know, 18 hours a day in it is not exactly dirty. It's kind of sterilized, it seems to me. But, you know, they didn't care for it. So basically, the glass pit, the aquarium smoker, was a way of building a pit that was, you know, modern looking and could be taken apart and rinsed off, you know, cleaned theoretically every night, more likely once a week or something like that. But the other thing about it is that it was basically a display case. And a lot of the places back then, you know, they'd cook right in the window. So you could walk by, and it's like walking by a jeweler's and seeing jewelry. You know, you're walking by and you're seeing, you know, the jewels of the pit, the, you know, the pork and the rib tips and all that cooking there in the window. So even more than smelling it in the air, you know, you knew that that was the place that you wanted to go to. So to me, those are the distinctive things historically of Chicago barbecue. And where it's changed in recent years, I think you just look at the cardboard standee of Dominique over there, smoked brisket. I mean, you wouldn't have seen that in Chicago at very many places, certainly. And that's really kind of the modern era to me. It comes out of people seeing barbecue on food TV.
And I think the people we have sitting here are that modern era. Maybe yes. They can talk more about to that. Oh, go ahead.
Basically, Mike took everything I was going to say. But I, for the book I did about foods that were invented here, in the chapter about rib tips, we talked to Carmen Lemons, whose uncle was Miles Lemons, who came here from Indianola, Mississippi, in 1954, and they had their place on State, and then her father, James, joined them, and he had the Lems on 75th, the one Lems that's still there. And yeah, basically they said, if you want a beautiful rack of ribs, you cut off these gnarly bits at the end, and then you keep the tips for your staff. And one day he said, you know what, let's just not feed them to the staff. These are actually pretty good. And they took off, and tips and links became a Chicago thing. And, you know, thanks to the ingenuity of folks from Mississippi, I think our sauce tastes kind of Memphis-y, and that's why that's sort of the style we have here. And yeah, the aquarium smoker that they say is probably a dying breed. Nobody really wants to train on it anymore. As Brian said, you probably couldn't get the health department to let you install a new one. So maybe...
I didn't realize they were the ones who started it.
Well, that's what Carmen tells me. She says that her uncles are the ones who started it.
Well, to piggyback off of that, the aquarium smoker is meant to mimic the ground pit cooking from the Mississippi Delta. So with the migration, the Delta barbecue transferred up to Chicago, and that style of barbecue led to a version of a pit that we can do that type of. What Chef Eric Williams calls hot barbecue, which is basically what that is. And so the aquarium, yes, it's a dying breed, and unless you're grandfathered into a restaurant that already has one, no one's really asking for it like that. However, Southsiders tend to pay attention to that, and they like, yo, if I see an aquarium smoker and the smoke building up the top, they know there's good barbecue, quote unquote, coming out of it. You know what I mean? So it depends on the situation. When it comes to Chicago barbecue, I did some homework because the topic of my concept is putting Chicago history on a plate. So when I think of barbecue, I think of the South Side styles, also the North Side styles with the Germans and the Jewish community with the boiled barbecue and things like that, where brisket was prevalent in the form of pastrami and corned beef. So I kind of mixed those styles up and just decided to do it all smoked. And so I would say that because we have two different distinct sides of town that do two different distinct things, it's hard to settle in on what the confusion lies. What is Chicago barbecue? So it's hard to lock in on what it is, but we have a history, especially in the meat industry, with the Union Stockyards and things like that. We have a history in this. So that's, I believe, Chicago barbecue stems from our history and our different melting pot of cultures. Not just South Side, but North Side, you know, things like that. So. The thing is,
the question is there a difference between South Side and West Side barbecue?
There is no West Side barbecue. If there's a West Sider in the audience, I'm not sorry.
But you got to remember this, most of the folks that came from Mississippi, like the Colemans, Robinsons, we got Robinson Ribs, they all came from Mississippi. They just went that side of town. You just serving up the same food, and everybody was serving the same thing. The Collins brothers from Arkansas, they the ones that started the hot links. And they did put that spice in the hot links, and it also helped create mumble sauce. So it's a lot of heritage here, you know. Folks don't know about it because, again, if it wasn't written in the Defender, nobody read it.
Yeah, the Defender is an interesting has an interesting side to it about Chicago barbecue, which is they were kind of against it in the early days, and I think that's partly why there isn't much documentation about barbecue before at least the 40s or the 50s. The Defender just, I think they looked down on it as something that was coming up from the South and wasn't as classy as we are in the North. So they just thought it was, you know, it was kind of, you know, people doing whole hogs on the bed springs from old mattresses and stuff like that, which
is not a good idea.
Well, certainly until you take all the other stuff off the bed spring. You know, I think, again, they're seeing it as dirty, and I don't believe that anything that's that hot is really dirty. But in any case, they just kind of, you know, didn't think it was a good addition to what they saw that the black community, how it should be presenting itself in Chicago.
I wonder if there's a correlation between that and gospel music in Chicago, because initially a lot of the city folks who came here during the first part of the Great Migration had more sort of like staid, churchy music, and they said, oh, these country people coming up with their gospel music, let's not highlight that. And then soon everyone's like, these gospel churches are fantastic, and that became the music of black Chicago churches. And it wasn't seen as respectable, but it's what everybody wanted.
Yeah, I think barbecue had a bad rap for a few reasons. Chicago-style barbecue is known for rib tips and hot links. Well, rib tips were garbage at the meatpacking district. And just like so many other things, our culture found a way to make gold out of it, no different from chitlins or hog mogs or pig feet. And now these things define what American cuisine is, and that's soul food. And that's soul food.
Yeah.
It's soul food. And so it wasn't being written about because it was seen as dirty and thought of as poor food. And the hot links came from actually just scraps. The scraps of the rib tips that we would grind down, add some chili flakes and whatever flavor profile we were looking for. And it was cheap, it was easy, it was just the scraps from the rib tips. And so, you know, that is historical Chicago style barbecue. And also, we pull influences from Memphis. Our sauce is very similar to Memphis style sauce. We thinned it out a little bit and called it mild sauce here in Chicago. Everybody's had mild sauce before. When I taste Chicago style barbecue, I taste Memphis. I taste Austin, Texas. I taste some influences from Mississippi. I wanted my grandmother to be here today so she could say a few words because she's from Lexington, Mississippi.
She wasn't able to
make it today. But she's from Lexington, Mississippi, and everything about Lexington Betty Smokehouse is what I learned from my grandmother, the type of cooking she was doing, the type of barbecuing she was doing. So when you gathered with my family, this is how we ate. It was barbecue with soul food sides. And, you know, that's what makes Lexington Betty really special, because it just doesn't, like, it doesn't sway far from our roots, right?
Got a question for you. Since you brought up the sauce, mm-hmm. Mambo and mild sauce, I have seen, okay, one of the places I go to is like Honey One, which is one of those old-fashioned aquarium smoker places. And I'm always shocked that their menu declares sauce is boss. And they put so much craft and effort into that meat, and yet sauce is boss. What do you think about that sauce is boss?
Well, I know my mom, so we didn't even eat barbecue sauce on our meat for a long time, right, Mom? She still doesn't like sauce on her meat. We just like some good smoked flavor. But I find Chicago Southside to be a little different. Like, if you order food here at the restaurant, we offer you sauce on or on the side. If you don't have a preference, we just put it on. Our sauce plays a huge part, but the flavor profile is, you know, the foundation of the meat.
All that craftsmanship.
Yeah. Yes.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to add on to most folks been to Harold's, right? And we all say the same thing. Salt, pepper, mild sauce. It's just a Chicago thing. We grew up, our parents did the same thing. Sauce, sauce, sauce. But now we're moving forward and realize you're not tasting the meat. You're not tasting the seasoning when it's drowned in ketchup and all the seasoning and salsa. So I also want to say one more thing about the music. Blues came up here too with barbecue.
Yes.
From Clarksdale and Jackson and Indianola and you name it, Columbia, all those folks down there too.
Yeah, I think that's one of the interesting things. If you look at both like blues and the barbecue places here, I mean, those towns that he mentioned, like Indianola and Clarksdale, and even where the place in Arkansas where Honey One is from, I mean, they're all pretty close together. They're, you know, within an hour and change of each other. And the important thing is they're all close to the railroad. So, you know, the City of New Orleans line that runs up from there, I mean, that's the people who came up to Chicago are the ones who were close enough to the train to be able to move up to Chicago. And that's what we see with, you know, music and food and who knows what else.
I was one of those kids that rode Illinois Central with your parents and the wrapped up aluminum foil and chicken and a Coke. I was one of them kids.
So how is Chicago's barbecue style? I think it's kind of an answer, but then again, maybe not enough detail. Chicago's barbecue style similar to other regional styles?
Only thing I can see it is, like I said, the sauce, like St. Louis and Memphis and Chicago is similar. But everywhere else, region-wise, Carolina, vinegar base, Texas, you know, is more savory. That's about it in comparison as far as I'm concerned.
Why is Chicago barbecue style not highlighted as much as Kansas, Texas, or Memphis? To name a few.
I believe that Chicago is a culinary city that enjoys barbecue more than exactly barbecue being its staple. When we think Texas, we think barbecue. What other cuisine do we think comes out of Texas? The first thing that comes to mind is barbecue. Same thing with Memphis. Same thing with St. Louis even. So I believe that Chicago, because we're such a huge culinary city, and we have some of the top chefs and some of the top restaurants in the country, in the world, I think because we have so many options, similar to New York. New York's the same way. We're not known for barbecue because of that reason. We're known for other things that are probably bigger than our barbecue. Hot dogs, for example. Pizza, for example. So that's it.
I blame the weather. You know what I mean? Like, is everywhere else, you know, it's just a yearly thing, right? And in Chicago, we'd be like, oh man, you know, wintertime, let me cover up my grill, you know? And so I blame the weather.
But I do have a question for you, because I know you do have a Florida background. And you do.
I'm New Orleans.
But yeah. You do things
we don't really
like
barbecue in New Orleans.
You just don't see everywhere grilling a crocodile. Or is it an alligator?
The gators.
Whatever.
Gators. Yeah. Well, I grew up in New Orleans. And so I grew up in the South. I've been in Chicago now for 20 years, so I'm one of y'all. You know, yeah, exactly. You know, I can't hide it. But even in New Orleans, you know, barbecue wasn't big in New Orleans. We had one barbecue spot that we would go to as a child in New Orleans. It was called Partners. And outside of that, it was like You know, it just wasn't really a thing. And so, you know, coming up to Chicago and even opening Frontier, you know, I always tread lightly with Pitmaster, right? Because I have a ton of respect for Pitmasters, and I feel like I'm a chef first. Like, not to say that Pitmasters aren't chefs, but it's a real you know, skill set and a real craftsmanship that it takes to become a Pitmaster and really be a Pitmaster. Now, I can smoke some shit now, but you know, like these guys, even, you know, I've worked with Chef Hammond a bunch. He's come to the restaurant and helped me do a lot of stuff. You know, and his approach to barbecue is different than, you know, my approach to barbecue. You know, like, I seek more smoke flavor, right? So I'll smoke anything, right? And I'm talking, you know, mushrooms, tomatoes, you know, I love that flavor so much. And that's what Frontier has become over the last 13 years, is this kind of, like, they don't know what's, is it a barbecue restaurant? I don't know, but you get a whole smoked pig, you know, is it a barbecue? I don't know, they got Wagyu smoked beef ribs, you know, and so, you know, I really love and appreciate the craftsmanship and the passion and love that it takes to become and be a pitmaster.
You know, I had to do a little bit of Googling on you because I went to your restaurant menu and I really didn't have that sense of barbecue.
Yeah.
Is that something that's just like on the specials and you just do it on a whim, or how does that work at your restaurant?
Well, no, I mean, we smoke a lot. It's just not the same, you know, layout. It's not, you know, meats by the pound and those things. But, you know, going through the menu, you know, you probably have, you know, 75% of the stuff on our menu touches the smoker. You know, and that's including, you know, some of our fish items, and whether that's in the production of the sauce or, you know, one of the onions for another dish or anything like that. And so, yeah, we're constantly chasing the smoke flavors. And even when, you know, once a month we do a dinner called Smoke Sessions, and I have another chef come in. Chef Dominique's done it. Chef Hammond's done one like it. Oh. You come in. All right. but there, you know, the chefs are encouraged to, you know, smoke stuff. And you'd be surprised how many chefs don't or haven't smoked anything before, you know. And I'm talking about some of the top chefs, you know, in the city. You know, but, you know, the technique is very different, right? Smoking chicken, I know you said, you know, one of the things you like to get is smoked chicken. It's something I normally don't get, but it's something that's easy to mess up smoked. Not just by drying it out, but having your skin be very chewy, and, you know, and so, like, when you have good barbecue, and I travel, you know, Texas, Carolina, you know, I haven't done a lot in Memphis, but, you know, I love good barbecue and I seek it out. And so with my menus, you know, we do about 15 whole pigs a week. And then boars, you know, probably 5 or 6 boars, and, you know, the alligators and things like that. And so, you know, we're more whole, big shit, you know, antelope legs, lamb legs, goat legs, you know, boar shoulders, you know, tomahawk racks, you know, those types of things. And so the application and the cook times and all of that stuff all really changes.
I was just at this place called La Grande Boucherie that does something called large format meats, but I think you should call yourself large format meats.
Well, that's what it is, Anna. Yeah, that's what it is. It is large format, you know. And, you know, when I first opened the place, my very first review was like, this guy is crazy, because it was like whole animals, you know, how long will he last? And I was like, 13 years later, we gotta find that lady, you know? And so, yeah, but it's you know, what my place is a celebration, right? Because every time someone is there, it's for something good, it's for something fun. And so you get to hear the stories of, hey, you know, I smoke, you know, whole pigs, or, you know, I grew up, my grandfather used to smoke a pig every Christmas, or this and this. And so it really brings something back to people when they dine in.
Wow. And by the way, talking about barbecue, I had this thought. You know, Illinois is a big pork producer. You don't feel that in Chicago. There just isn't the pork presence you feel when you go beyond the Chicago. And I think that's probably the same thing with barbecue, is that there's just so much rich options here. it's, I guess what you need is the tourist bureau to pick up the stick for barbecue.
I keep telling Choose Chicago to send people to Pullman.
Right. And by the way, it was very easy to find you. Could not have been easier.
Yeah, right off the expressway.
Now, I know barbecue, having done a little bit myself, but nothing in the level you guys do, is very labor intensive. Could someone perhaps address what is the day of the life of a barbecue pitmaster? When do you arrive? When do you load that smoker for today or tomorrow? And when do you leave? Because I think it's a pretty intensive job.
It depends on, because I'm primarily a caterer, I know the work goes up once the restaurant opens, and so I'll be leaning on you a lot. I will say this. At the end of it, it is rewarding. During it, I prepare myself to lose sleep, especially when I'm smoking 9 briskets at 16 pounds each that have to go about 15 hours. I'm not working an electric smoker at the time. My buddy, he has one, and I use his a lot. I use Jukes, and it's always easier when I use those. But when I'm not working those, I'm literally manning a fire every 2 hours. I'm checking my heat, checking my temps, and I'm not really sleeping too much. It's worth, like I said, at the end result, bananas. But the day in the life, really, honestly, preparing the food, cooking the food, is easy. It's the preparation, and then the manning of the pit master work, the work of the pit master, checking temps, the science of it all. That's what keeps me up at night. That's what keeps me. I can't go to sleep. I gotta keep going. My legs hurt. My back hurt. Yeah, that's fine. All right, stretch it out. Let's go. Gotta get to the fire. And so the day in the life is basically a lot of repetition. So that's my approach.
It also depends on, again, what kind of smoker you use. And so my when I started off, my days kind of looked the way that Daniel just explained. And so I had to streamline the process. And so that's why we transitioned and invested in a Southern Pride. Now I smoke my meat at night and get a little more sleep. As opposed to, we still have to be here early to pull it off, but this machine smokes it and then it holds it at the temperature that you want. Yeah, that makes a big difference. But I remember how that felt, and I never want to go back to that. So our day here typically looks like Lilia, the sous chef, comes in about 6 o'clock. She pulls the meat out. She cooks all of the sides, yams, greens, cornbread muffins, brisket baked beans, mac and cheese. She has a prep team that keeps up with the prep for the restaurant as well as the catering. Erica, the supervisor, comes in about 10 o'clock, sets up the front, gets the bank going, open the restaurant at 11 o'clock. They rock out till 7 p.m. Everybody's like, why do you close at 7 p.m.? Because we're here at 5 in the morning a lot of days. Right. And then we, service our customers and try to give great customer service and get the meat on, the smoke, to come in at 6 in the morning and take it off the next day.
So, one quick question.
Yes.
Are you smoking everything? Like the ribs?
Brisket. The questions, are you smoking everything, like the ribs and pork shoulder and such?
We have a 300-pound smoker, so we smoke the brisket and the pork. Anybody that's running, anybody that knows what they're doing, they're not smoking their ribs and brisket together. They take a lot longer. So we smoke the brisket and the pulled pork overnight, and the rib tips and the chicken we smoke during the day before the restaurant opens.
I don't have that luxury like Chef Jupe and Dominique. I don't have a Southern Pride. Old Hickory. So anybody want to donate for Eminem Southern Pride? I'm looking forward to that. But my day starts, like Daniel says, the night before is the cleaning, the trimming, the prepping, the seasoning. Take a nap. Get up when it's still dark outside, and I found out I'm a pyro. I done got a relationship with fire now. I mean, I just like to watch fire now. And it takes a good 45 minutes to get your fire and your temp right. And that's before you even bring your meat out. So you watching that and getting that temp steady, and then like a cold day, like, well, today.
Hey, gorilla in the room.
Hey.
How much does a Southern Pride cost? We know it's a lot.
Yeah, my Southern Pride is considered a small one, a 300-pound one, and that it ran us $10,000. So we had to wait to make the profit. I'm sure I paid for it out of my own pockets, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we had to operate like that because we just didn't have $10,000 to spend. And, like, to give credit to Tanisha and I, we never waited on a loan or anything. We've always just worked hard to get what we needed and evolved as a business. And so we used to, I mean, smokers go out. We'll have grills lined up in the backyard. We always did whatever it took.
Yeah. By the way, go ahead.
The new smoker, I got a nice deal, you know. We at the place where people, they give a little discount for me to say their name. So, yeah.
So there are few women in the barbecue field. So those involved today, how are they changing the barbecue scene? And I think you're the representative, but there's your fan base.
Oh, definitely. I mean, she's not alone. I mean, as those who've watched the Master of Q before Dom participated, you had Brittany Bow Baker. She's from Tampa. Michelle Wallace. She's from Houston. So there's a lot of sisters out here. There's a lot of sisters out here doing. But the thing about them, and Erica, forgive me, Erica. They're chefs. They throw down. This, you know, they're a different breed. They add an extra flair to the meat, the sides, and everything. This is not just a plain old potato salad. It ain't no plain old greens. They're a different breed. So you see that now with a lot of, as you watch the Food Network, Food Channels, Top Chefs, and all that kind of stuff, they bring a different flavor to the whole thing about barbecue.
Yeah, I think personally, I find women chefs to be a lot more efficient. but and so, yeah, you know, to see this evolution of women pit masters, it does not surprise me because the representation has been very impressive, very attractive. Ron said, you know, all the women are winning the competitions these days. And, you know, I just want a big one. So, but, you know, it's nice to see more women in the barbecue space. You know, it was just a few years ago that I was being written in articles and being called a pitmaster. And so I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I am considered a pitmaster. But, like, you know, we talked about, like, the origins and the history of barbecue, but Chicago is one of the best food cities in the world. And so when I think about barbecue today, I think about frontier. That is what the evolution of barbecue looks like in Chicago. And as a chef pitmaster, I think, and you'll taste that in the dish that I put out today. You know, it's about smoking meat, but also showing your personality and your strengths as a chef and your versatility. And that's what really makes us special, not just as pitmasters, but chefs. I don't try to do anything that looks like what anybody else is doing. It's like being a songwriter. You know, if I'm putting my art out, I don't want to be influenced by anybody else. I want my personality to shine through.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now we're going to turn this over to questions in the audience. State your name, ask your question, maybe give a little bit of context. Don't do the rah-rah, we love you, because we know that. That's why you're here. But don't take offense if I cut you off and ask you for your question. Go ahead.
I'm Rebecca. I'm from Lincoln Park. And I'm wondering, I've seen some mashups between barbecue and like really hot cuisine. For instance, there was a dinner at Adorn at the Four Seasons where Chef DeAndre Carter from Soul and Smoke served some barbecue duck atop some grits that he blended with a foie gras butter. I'm wondering, you know, what you're seeing in terms of these like mashups between, you know, four-star cuisine and barbecue, and does barbecue have a seat at the table of, you know, the four-star, the Michelin-starred restaurants?
You know, DeAndre come from that. You know, he was fine dining, you know, before he started Soul and Smoke. But yeah, I mean, every kitchen pretty much now has a smoker in it. And so, you know, even a lot of the fine dining kitchens or whatever, they have smokers because it's a technique that people incorporate without being a barbecue place, you know? And so, yes, I do believe that you'll have more collaborations like that because there's also a necessity for fine dining restaurants to get everyday business, right? Because we, in the restaurant, the flip side of this part is the business part, right? And so the way that consumers are receiving restaurants are smaller scales, lower price points, you know, and so you have to kind of meet people in that middle ground. So yes, I think you'll see more mashups like that. Shit, we do them every month at Frontier.
Another question?
Also, if I can comment on that, we will, I think the industry as a whole is moving towards those type of collaborations because I was the first pit master to do a series at the James Beard House in New York. So, I was the first pit master and the first chef to do a brunch. And that's a big deal because they don't invite a lot. I was the first pit master at the James Beard House. So that's
the platform, yeah.
Do we have another question? Did we question you out? Well, I still have one more question, so I'm not entirely finished. But you came here today to talk about barbecue. But was there a question we failed to ask you that you want to address? Or maybe I did my job. Go ahead.
I mean, do we want to talk about our dishes that we're doing today? Or?
Oh, okay, that's fine. Terrific.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Quick story on the dishes, very quick. For me, I decided to do what I did today because I love cooking pork. I love cooking rib tips, and I love cooking ribs. They're my specialty. And it just so happens that the three people next to me decided to do pork. So I said, okay, all right, so I got to do something different. I don't want to do brisket because, you know, my brisket's good, but, you know, I'm at less than Betty. You know what I mean? I'm gonna let that be. You know, I'm gonna let her brisket roll for the day, cause I love her brisket. So I said I'm gonna do something different. So I'm gonna go very Chicago. So I decided to do a ribeye slider. Chicago is known as the city of steak and shoulders. We know Chicago is a steak city, so I want to do something that was a mashup of our steak culture and our barbecue culture, both from the north side and the south side. So I'm doing smoked ribeye sliders with a chipotle. How you say this? Gianera? Gianera? I always have a hard time with that. Grenadine. Garden slaw. I don't know. So that stuff, and I mixed that up with the slaw. With a kind of a root beer glaze in the slaw, so and we put that together for the slider. And to add to that, when I talk about smoked chicken and grilled chicken, Chicago is not much known for that in the barbecue spots. I think Less Than Betty might be one of the few places on the South Side that does smoked chicken at all. Outside of the upstart of the jerk chicken restaurant in Chicago, which has increased over the last 13 years. So I decided to pay homage to the other barbecue, which is our Caribbean brothers and sisters barbecue and jerk chicken. So I'm doing a jerk chicken wings with a pineapple chutney jerk barbecue sauce. That's what that.
Wow.
I gotta come behind that, huh?
I waited today. I waited to see their menus first before I decided.
You went there. Okay. I'm doing a raspberry chipotle glaze rib tip. All right. And garlic parmesan sweet corn. So it's nice walking food.
Here comes the weird guy. No, I kept it simple. I'm doing smoked pork cheeks with rice grits with cheddar cheese and smoked pork belly. And so one other thing we do at Frontier is we do a lot of bacon. So we cure and smoke lamb bacon, pork bacon, and beef bacon. And so today we're on the pork kick. So, all right.
I got some more pork for you. So I am doing a smoked pork belly with a kimchi fried rice and a sweet and sour barbecue sauce finished with some chicharrones.
Well, doesn't that just sound delicious?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can eat, lick the dishes. But I also want to point out this whole event today was recorded and will be a podcast. So maybe I'll do the editing tonight. Maybe I won't. But it will be up in the next few days. And I think, can it be distributed by email to everybody here?
That's cool.
I think.
We'll figure that out.
Okay, that's your thing. Sorry, I overpromise. Go ahead.
I've got a quick question. I've seen turkey tips at barbecue places in Chicago. So what do you guys think about turkey barbecue?
Thank you. Good question.
I'm going to let Daniel say what he has to say, because I think he has a personal vendetta against turkey tips. I don't mind turkey tips. I don't prefer to cook them just because they don't hold well, and with barbecue you have to smoke it all. We're not cooking food a la minute, so you have to smoke it and then hold it, and I kind of stay away from it because I don't have the science down pat. But also, you know, we're trying to define Chicago style barbecue, but also in a respectful way, keep it classic, and that's why we serve. We're one of the only barbecue restaurants that serve brisket on the south side. And so turkey tips, they just never like spoke to me. We don't, you know, like, I know I got some people here that love them. They come in, they ask about them. We run them on specials sometimes, but my heart cannot find a place on my menu to put them. So a turkey tip is a smoked turkey thigh. That we cut against the grain. If you get them right, they can be good. It's just not my type of smoking.
Because I'm, all my life I had to fight. I know where it comes from. I know that it has to be a thigh in order to be that tender and cooked the way it is. It has to be a thigh. My problem with it is that it's a niche product. It's a substitute for those who don't want to eat pork, but they like rib tips. So these are people who have probably conformed from pork and decide they want to eat rib tips, but they still want that, you know, it's turkey chunks. It's not, not like tofu. Don't do turkey tips like that. It's like saying chicken fried steak. So I have a personal vendetta against turkey tips, because they really tried to convince me that I should put these on my menu. And I'm just like, well, won't I just cook you guys some smoked turkey breasts? And it's always tender, it's always nice, and you know, it's simple. Why do you want?
Oh, boy. Yo, his jerk pork tips are good.
Yeah, I think that you should do them, man. Like, I'm going to advocate for some jerk turkey tips. Actually, before y'all leave, we're going to have a petition at the front door. If anybody can sign. If we get 35 names,
they have to be jerk.
Do it.
Have to be jerk. I can't do
you
any
get
other.
That money, man.
No, okay.
Call them jerky tips.
He has converted.
That's
that easy.
Yeah.
As Brian said.
Thank you very
much. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. No, no questions from the crowd. We just had the one.
How you guys doing? No turkey tip questions. I'm with you on that. My name is Craig Elliott. Big shout out to my brother, Brian Jupiter. Everybody likes a barbecue and throw some on the grill. We all know that. But while we got some savants over here, you know, I attempted to make a brisket on an egg smoker, and it was the biggest waste of money next to going to the casino and buying fireworks for the kids, trust me. So could you give us, I don't know, just an idea, a layman's, an amateur way of maybe doing a brisket properly for us? I was all night with the thing. I stayed up, set alarms and everything, and I came up with this, like, corned beef kind of thing. I don't know what happened to it. And most people like my cooking, but that was something that's a bigger waste of money. But please, while we have you here and your ideas, could you give us some
Dominic,
ideas
you want this
on
one?
How to barbecue and maybe do a brisket?
Well, I do have the best brisket in Chicago.
Yes, you do.
just come here next time. We got it by the pound for you.
Right.
But I taught myself how to make brisket because I went to L Barbecue in Austin, Texas, and also woman-owned. And I ordered the brisket, which I hadn't had like a whole lot of times. And it really spoke to me. I mean, it was phenomenal. And we waited in line quite a long time. I'm not the type of person to wait in a long line. We waited in line for over an hour, and it was worth every second. And I said I had to give people this feeling when they sat down and ate my food. And mind you, I was just manifesting. I went to Austin because I wanted to see the food truck scene. And right before we were in Austin, I was in Jamaica, and somebody recognized me and was like, hey, do you have a food truck? And I was like, I'm about to get one. And they walked away. I said, why did I say that? I don't even know what made that come out of my mouth. I wasn't planning on getting a food truck. But because I said it, I decided to own it, and I went to Austin to see how the food trucks were running. Was completely, like, swept off my feet by this brisket. So I bought two briskets and tried to make them on a barbecue grill. And, again, wasted a whole lot of money. So
that
I went and read about them, read about the science of them, I taught myself how to make it, and I mean, I was completely blown away when we won Best Barbecue in Chicago and from the brisket. But low and slow. Low and slow is the way to go. And then you have to offset. You said you used a green egg?
Easy.
So I've never used a green egg before. Have you guys ever used a green egg?
Yeah.
You gave it away?
Oh, my God.
I've never used a green egg. Some people live by them. I stick to what I know and just put some good
food
out.
I can get you right on a green egg or a Weber. I can get you right on a Weber for a brisket. I'm telling you.
I seen another hand over
here. Oh, we're actually going to wrap it up.
Oh, we're going to wrap it up?
Oh, yeah, we're moving. Okay. We got to feed them.
Don't worry. Nobody's leaving. So you can come and talk to them one-on-one.
We got to feed them.
Taste their food and go, how did you do that? So thank you so much for coming here today. We really appreciate your interest, their expertise. It worked out really well. Thank you. And thank you for hosting.
No, thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hope it was okay.